Number four. Sunday school helpful? We might do that again here in a week, maybe next week or week after. I think it's good to just to look at some true science and give God the glory. Amen. We don't run from true science. We just have trouble getting the truth out of science, what's real and what's not real. The Bible warns against science falsely so-called. There's a lot of that out there, and it's usually based on a gazillion years ago, everything come from nothing. And the truth is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's who we're going to worship today and talk about God, talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And Philippians chapter number 4, I believe this is needful for the church right now. It's needful for me. So if you don't get anything out of it at all, I'm going to preach it to me today because I need it. And I'm tired because I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, but I'm tired because this world's wearing me out. And the devil's wearing out the saints, and he's wearing them out through politics and ideologies. And like I said in Sunday school, the devil cannot take your joy from you, but you can give it away. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us, telling us, hey, you know, seek me. Read my word. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And get some of the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. I'm excited because I know where we're going and I know where this ends up. But I will tell you, the world's not going to be a better place. The world's not going to keep getting better and better until Jesus is excited and says, I want to go down there. He's already come down, been rejected. When he comes back, he's coming back to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And he's going to come back and fix this mess. It's not going to be a Democrat or Republican, amen. See, I don't believe God's a Democrat, but a devil is, or God's a Republican, but the devil is obviously a Democrat, amen. Obviously. But he's controlling a lot more and influencing a lot more than you'll realize unless you're reading your Bible. And in Philippians chapter 4, we'll talk for just a few minutes today about that, some of that. And we'll begin in verse number 1. Paul said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now we talked about this, we kind of set the stage for this message in Sunday school, talking about a few things, and I want to look at the first thing I want to look at is verse number 1. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The first thing I want to talk about is be stable. Be stable. It has nothing to do with philosophy or psychology. I'm talking about spiritual stability. Be standing firmly on the rock, which is the Word of God, the words of God. He is our foundation. This book is our foundation. That's why we can say this is a Baptist church. I'm not really excited about the name Baptist anymore because we don't know what that means anymore. But the Baptist church has always been known to have the Word of God as their foundation, and about a dozen really easily understandable doctrines that we stand on. Now, there's some other doctrines that I understand, but you know, you're looking at the virgin birth and you know, salvation is eternal. Salvation comes from trusting Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer, the priesthood of the believer. We don't need to go to a man, have him flip his collar around in a phone booth so we can tell him secrets that nobody should know, that we shouldn't even have to tell, because we are priests and we have a high priest. He's entered into that place where only the high priest could enter in the Old Testament. That veil was rent from top to bottom, and now we go straight to God through Jesus Christ. We go to the Father. We're reconciled through Jesus Christ. We don't need a man with $100,000 shoes on or whatever to tell us what to do. We have a Bible. Amen. And my job as your preacher is not to tell you what to do and say, you follow me blindly. My job is to tell you what the Word of God says and say, open it during the week and follow it. Amen. Now, I guarantee you, you eat more than one on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday evening physically. And if you're not reading your Bible, then you're starving yourself. You're starving yourself spiritually. Because the things of this world will move in and smother out the things that you get on Sunday morning by Wednesday night if you're not adding to it. Amen? The things that you hear on Wednesday night that might be an encouragement and the fellowship that you have without the Word of God between Wednesday and next Sunday, that stuff's going to become weak and dissipate, and worldliness will start moving in. If you want to be stable, you're going to have to pray and read your Bible. Stand fast in Christ. Do you like that verse? So stand fast in Christ. Aren't you glad it doesn't say, so stand fast in Joe Biden? He doesn't stand very fast, amen? So stand fast in Donald Trump. Now, I can open the Bible, and every time I read the Bible, I know I'm hearing the truth. When I turn on the CNN or ABC or Fox, I very seldom probably am getting the truth. Amen? Jesus come as the lowly Galilean. He came humbly on the foal of an ass to offer Himself as King of the Jews and to march to Calvary to die the death you and I deserve to die. Donald Trump didn't do that. He couldn't, because he's just a man. So I'm going to stand fast in Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to stand fast in Jesus Christ and know, sanctify Him through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This book is truth. Jesus Christ in John 14, 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is truth. Now, I'm not saying, I'm thankful for some of the things some of the politicians do. Praise the Lord. Some of that stuff's encouraging. Amen? Some of the bad stuff's kind of encouraging because we know the Lord's coming back quicker. Amen? We can see His appearing drawn nigh. Amen? But God wants you to be stable. He wants you to be stable. If you're going to be stable, you're going to be anchored to and anchored in the Word of God. Now, if you go home and your Bible sets the same place between Sunday morning and Wednesday night and Wednesday night and Sunday morning, you might be anchored to it as far as salvation, but you're not anchored in it because you haven't been getting in it. Amen? So, blow the dust off of it. You might want to wear a mask. Blow the dust off of it. Open it up and read it. Amen. Anywhere's good. You might want to read the book of John. If you haven't read it for a while, read the book of John and realize that God died for you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which is God, part of the Trinity, laid His life down for you. Don't wait for me to tell you about it. See for yourself. Amen. But He wants us to be stable. He doesn't want us to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And the only way you can do that is, first of all, you have to be saved. Amen. You must be born again. And second of all, you have to be prayed up and studied up. And that's part of what church is for, to teach sound doctrine. And by teaching sound doctrine, it's not to do as I say, not as I do, believe what I say because of what I say. It's not that. It's because I'm going to show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. We've been down that track. I can show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you're not only born again, but you're born again forever. And we can look at it soundly, doctrinally, from the Bible. Because your first birth puts you into a family, genetically, that you're stuck in. Your second birth puts you in a family spiritually, and God's stuck with you. Amen? Because you're born into the family of God. You're not going to be unborn in the family of God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You can be stable in knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. He saved your soul. You know where you're going. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says, we've talked about this a lot, He's in you, you're in Him, and He's at the right hand of God the Father. You're spiritually speaking, you're in heaven right now, in a sense, because you're in Christ. I don't just believe once saved, always saved. I believe the word everlasting. I believe God gave me everlasting life. I believe He gave me eternal life. I believe He knew from the foundation of the world that David was not going to be able to keep his salvation unless Jesus Christ did something and kept it for him. Amen. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. If you're here today and you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. So, well, you know, they're gonna try to make us take the mark. Well, first of all, I think we're getting out of here before that goes on, but they're going to try to do this, they're going to try to do that, they're going to take our guns. All right, barrel first, amen. All right, smoking and blazing, all that stuff. They're going to try. As long as they don't take your Bible, you're all right. Amen. If you don't believe me that you can be all right as long as you just have Scripture, read some stories about Corrie Ten Boom and different missionaries and different Christians in history that were able to stand with their fingers ablaze praising God as they burned them at the stake because they were completely saturated with the Word of God and filled with the Spirit of God. Read stories about people that would hide slivers of Scripture in their attic spaces because if they got caught with it, they'd have their heads cut off or be burned at the stake. And they were willing to risk their lives for John 3:16 when most people that claim to be born again won't open the Bible to read any of it. And I'll tell you today, if you're not reading your Bible, you're risking your spiritual life on this earth. It's not only all we have that's real, it's all we need. It's all we need. So be stable. Be stable. You can go to sleep now because I'm talking to me. Because if I listen to all this junk all the time, I'll tell you, I've got something that's more than a conspiracy theory. I've got a fact right here in front of me. I know where I'm going. I know in whom I believe. And I know He's able. And I know God's faithful. Donald Trump will let you down. Joe Biden will let you down. Your preacher will let you down. Your husband, your wife, your kids will let you down. You'll let yourself down. But the Bible and the Lord will never let you down. Matter of fact, Paul said, "When I'm weak, then am I strong." Here we are. I don't know whether to call it a blender, whirlwind, dumpster fire, or what's going on outside these walls. But we're living in that, walking through that, and it's so easy to get distracted by that. That's a distraction. That's not even real. That doesn't last. This whole place is going to burn up. It's all going to leave one day, new heaven, new earth. But what's going to carry on for eternity is what you lay up in heaven for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I don't think anybody's going to get to the judgment seat of Christ and He's going to say, "Man, you got a whole box of worries. Praise the Lord. You had a trash bag, a 50-gallon bag of anxiety. Woo! Oh, and a thimble full of Bible. You had that too." He wants us to be stable. The Lord wants to divide right from wrong. He wants to divide the children of the devil from the children of God and pull people out of one side and put them in the right side. The Lord wants to do the right thing in division. The Lord's not a uniter. ultimately, he's a divider. He divides things out for himself, and we unite, focused on Christ, as divided out from the world. But the devil wants to divide everything. You think, well, we've got a small church. We don't have a lot of people. Yeah, but the devil would love to divide this small church and destroy it. How's he going to do that? However you let him. See, the devil doesn't have free will to do just anything, but he can use you or me to mess up a church. Amen. Like old preacher, you say, the devil doesn't just walk into the church. He rides in somebody's back on Sunday morning and starts causing trouble. Now, I've been a Baptist a long time. I've been saved a long time, praise the Lord, but I've been a Baptist a long time. And I've seen some crazy stuff. And we talk about it and we joke about it. You know, well, I ain't going back there because they took my parking spot. Well, I ain't going back there because they sit in my seat and the preacher didn't shake my hand. Well, good night. Your preacher doesn't even know where he's at half the time. Give him a break, amen? But be assured that God was able to use Balaam's donkey, so maybe he can use me occasionally. But he wants us to be stable, and part of being stable is being grounded in the truth, not just on the truth, that's for salvation, but in the truth, by getting in that book and getting that book in you. I was talking to a guy the other day. He's going to buy our car. We got another car. Thank the Lord, after 2 years looking at stuff that wasn't even fit for the junkyard. We finally, the Lord found us the right car. I believe it's the right one. We're going to sell our old car. And this guy was saved. And we got to talking. And man, we were talking and I was spitting out Bible verses. And I was like, good night. I didn't even know they were in there. But you know what? Over the years, I put them in there. And the Lord pulls them out every once in a while and says, if you would have told me 20 years ago, I'd be able to stand up here and say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved himself, gave himself for me. I would say, you're kidding me. I wouldn't get the first three words out. But you know what? The Lord impressed upon my heart through some preachers that I didn't even agree with on some serious doctrinal issues, but they believed the book. And he impressed on my heart that that book was important. And if they took that book today, I still have scripture in my heart that they can't take from me. Amen. I still know where I'm going. But I want to put more of it in there. So I can be stable. You know what part of being stable is? Being unified in the house of God on a regular basis. Now, I understand we're the temple of the Holy Ghost and all that, and you can meet with God, all, you know, whatever. He says, where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And when you get together with other Bible-believing Christians, and I do like the fact that we are Bible-believing Christians, Bible believers, saved Bible believers, outside of that world, it gives you a chance to rest. It gives you a chance to rest. Well, I can't rest because you're always kicking my sin. Well, that's between you and the Lord. But you're still not being inundated with the world. You got a chance to focus on the sin that God wants you to get over now, amen? That God wants you to lay at the feet of Jesus Christ and walk away from. But He wants us to be stable. So when you look at what's going outside the world, and you know they don't know whether they're boys, girls, or billy goats, and they're running around with coontails and cattails and whatever, and poking holes in themselves, putting plates in their ears. They'll be putting plates in their lips and bones in their noses, all whatever. It's like, well, look how, and they get upset and they scream and they fuss and fight. And then you look at the other side and say, well, they're not screaming and fussing and fighting. You say, no, but they got a plenty of their own sin problems. Amen. The screaming and fussing and fighting because they're not stable. You say, well, yeah, they're mentally off. No, they're spiritually unstable. But what do you expect from lost people? Right? But God wants us to be stable. He wants us to be grounded on and in His Word. Now look at verse number 3. I'll give you the prescription here. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Be helpful. See what it says? Help those women which labor with me. Be helpful. Now see, in religion says, donate money, drill wells, be a nice person, let your life be your testimony, and you're good. But you know what the Lord says? Preach the word. Our life should be a testimony, but that's not a replacement for the gospel. Amen? But religion says if we just do all these things for these people around the world and be helpful, God will look at us and He'll say, well, maybe I should let them in. And the Bible says without Christ, you're condemned already. So there's a whole system of religion out there that's doing things without Christ that are condemned already. But I'm saying be helpful not just to those outside, but those inside the church. Who else can you count on, humanly speaking? Can you count on all your neighbors? Can you count on your politicians? Can you count on your family members, all your family members? Maybe some of them, praise the Lord, are saved and they're trying to do right. But you should be able to count on each other. Amen. And what I love about this church, and always have since I got here, that I noticed, is that folks pray for each other. And they reach out and let people know they're praying for them. Amen? Can't remember who the preacher was. It might have been Carl Lackey. It was an old preacher, old-time preacher, maybe 60, 70, 80, 100 years ago. I remember 60 years ago, probably. He said, how do you keep your church from biting and devouring one another? Because that's what Baptists do. I mean, the Baptists go to the Baptist buffet and bite and devour each other. He said, how do you keep your church from doing that? He said, well, I focus them on the enemy outside so they can identify the enemy inside. And the enemy's not each other. The enemy is the spirit of Antichrist that wants to destroy everything that's good and holy and pure and clean and right. That's why there's 7,000 Bible, quote-unquote, versions out there. Because he wants to destroy the truth. Well, he can't do it because I still have it. Amen. But he would love to get us all worked into a frenzy about this preacher says there's no rapture. Well, that preacher doesn't know enough Bible. If it was Kleenex, he couldn't blow his nose on it. I mean, he doesn't know anything. So overlook that. Skip that. Well, this preacher says the rapture's already happened. This preacher says, you know, there is no reign of Christ. All these things out there. And we can get so distracted with stuff. Turn to Acts chapter 17. We can get so distracted with stuff that we'll start questioning basic Bible doctrine that we know to be true that we've seen in the Word of God. Amen? What if that preacher's right? He's a preacher. We are taught to believe people in positions of authority. Well, the pulpit fill is a position of authority. The person doesn't necessarily know what he's talking about. A pastorate is a position of authority. That doesn't mean the pastor's an authority. Amen? If I have any authority at all, it's because I'm pointing you to the final authority, the Word of God, and I can show you why I believe what I believe. That's not going to happen. It's not an answer. I want to see Bible for it. I can give you Scripture on the rapture. Being caught up, the dead in Christ shall rise first. I can give you Scripture. I can see where Paul was looking for the rapture. Amen? So what the devil will do is he'll use some ear tickler out there to say nice things and to tell you a couple truths, and then he'll say, but there's no rapture. And you've already been drawn into his quote-unquote authority. And then he'll start picking at your doctrinal beliefs that you've been taught from the Bible, that you've learned on your own from the Bible. that you've double-checked me on from the Bible. Amen? Well, this preacher knows this, and our preacher didn't know that. So what? I don't know everything, but I know this. I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm set apart for a purpose, and He's coming back to get me. And you're not going to talk me out of any of those things as long as I have functioning neurons in my upper here. But be helpful. Be helpful to one another. Say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. We're saved. You know, we don't need church. You need each other. We need each other. That's why God put us here. And unless God moves you, be here and be helpful. How are you going to be stable? By being helpful. Fulfill your purpose. What are you left here for? To encourage other believers and to preach the truth about Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. Everything else is just a means to get to those two ends. Praying, read your Bible, all those things are going to get you to the judgment seat of Christ and Him be able to say, well done, a good and faithful servant. And guess what? Preacher Flim Flam or Skim Skam that says there's no rapture, he's not going to be standing there at the judgment seat of Christ to defend you like he could. It's going to be you and the Lord. Amen. You and the Lord. How do I be stable? Well, be helpful. That's a survival technique I try to use. Amen. I get discouraged. I want out of here. I start thinking things that I don't want in my head. And I'm like, I got to do something to help somebody. Lost or saved. Amen. Do something nice for somebody and give them a tract. I got to do something. Or else you're just going to wither and die spiritually on this earth. I'm not talking about your eternal security. But if you want to be stable, be helpful. The devil wants you to say, oh me, oh my, look at this. Oh, I got nobody. Oh, nobody's seen the trouble I've seen. Nobody, all that stuff. The Lord says, just help somebody. They ripped his beard from his face, spat in the face of God Himself, nailed Him to a tree, mocked, ridiculed, abused Him, stuck a spear in His side, and He said, Father, forgive them, knowing that was going to happen. You know what He did in His ministry? He corrected religion, He preached against hell, and He helped people that needed help. Well, I got a message in my heart on that that connects to Israel, that if the Lord ever puts that thing together and gives it to me, it's going to be on. Even if I'm the only one here, it's going to be exciting. And I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm leaving with you. I'm talking about if I show up and y'all ain't. He's just giving me a message I'm really excited about. I hope He lets me preach it one day. He's going to have to put it together first. But there's an amazing typology lineup in the Bible that's connected with Israel that just... I'm not worthy, but I'm willing. It would be an amazing message for God to put together, I think. I don't know if He'll ever do it or not. But be helpful. Look at verse 4. Oh, I'm in Acts 17. We need to go to Acts 17. Never mind. Let's look at 21. Acts 17, 21. Back on being stable and being helpful and not getting caught up in the things of this world. Look at verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there, spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear something new. Now, I caught myself doing this the other day. So I'm going to tell them myself. You can turn your collar around and listen if you want. But I'm on Marketplace. We've got a car for sale. I sell workbenches and stuff, you know, and I'm checking this stuff out. I flip open Facebook Marketplace, and it's a Charlie Kirk thing, and then... You got half of them praise Charlie Kirk, brought a blessing, and you got a half of them saying, you know, he's the devil or whatever. All that stupid stuff on there. And I'm like, I wonder what else are going on here. That's not what I got on there for. I got on there probably, if I remember, I don't even remember what I was doing besides that, but I got on there to check my ads to respond to somebody that was looking at something and then get back to life, reality. But my soul said, don't fool with that stuff. And my flesh is saying, I want to see what else is on there. And I try not to do this anymore, but I have caught myself in the past being wound up for 2 or 3 hours on there going, look at this, and look at this, and look at that, and look at this. And then I sat down and I'm like, man, I could have studied the Bible a lot. And now I'm just sitting like this. But all they were doing is they were looking for something new. Looking for something new. You know, the devil's got a lot of new stuff out there. Now, when I grew up, my dad and mom, they bought a Kelvinator refrigerator side by side. That thing was like $700 back in 1972 or something. Harvest Gold. Y'all remember Harvest Gold? And avocado green. And then they had Boogeyman Brown or something. I don't know what they had, the brown too, but the Harvest Gold. We had a Harvest Gold Kelvinator refrigerator. 32 years, I think, or 34 years later, they had to get rid of it. My dad had that. Had to get rid of it because they couldn't buy door seals anymore. It still worked. Leaked like a sieve. You know, wouldn't keep the temperature because of door seals. What am I saying? I'm saying the new stuff's not always good. The old stuff will last. You know what? The old stuff will last. Salvation and belief in the Bible and loving the brothers and sisters in Christ and hanging out to the end and enduring to the end. Not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about putting up with this world and getting together and being an encouragement to each other. That stuff will last. You know what the blood of Jesus Christ does today? It still saves souls. And He's not looking for door gaskets, amen? We need some gaskets to keep some people in church sometimes, amen? But here the Athenians were caught up, and Paul's in Athens saying, look, they spend all their time just telling something new or looking for something new. I didn't even know I was going to talk about this, but you know why I believe that most marriages don't last anymore? First of all, they don't get married with the idea of pleasing God with a relationship and a biblical marriage. But I think people spend so much time looking for something new, they forget about the old. The grass is always greener. If I plant a garden, and I probably won't because I'm lazy. I used to grow a garden. I'm lazy now, though. If I pull weeds, I'll probably eat them. I ain't going to put a grain on a garden. But if I plant a garden, and the Lord blesses that, and it comes up, it's the most beautiful garden, and I run off in somebody else's garden and forget about mine, mine's going to go. You can apply that to your relationship however you want to, but you need to nurture what God's blessed you with. Get the weeds out of your relationship. Amen? Let some sunlight in there so the fruit can come on the vine. But these people in Athens, they weren't stable because they were always looking and listening for something new. God does not want us to know everything that's in this Bible. He wants us to know what He wants us to know from the Bible. I believe any answer man could find that he needs is in that book. But that doesn't mean God's going to give it to you. He might give it to somebody on the other side of the world and never give it to us. But He wants us to remember the foundational things. You're saved, you're sealed, you're set apart, you have a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Jesus Christ by being helpful to one another, by loving your enemies. I understand doctrinally where that verse comes from and all that, but love your enemies, and if you love somebody, you'll give them the truth. Be helpful. Back over in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice, be joyful. The only way you can be joyful is by unplugging from the world and plugging into truth. We should have more prayer, Bible study, songs, hymns, and spiritual songs in our heart and in our life It should way outweigh the things of the world we're letting in. You want to be happy? You want to have joy? Flip the equation around. Have more good godly things every day. Start out with good godly things. Mix it through the day. I know we have to function in this world. But when the medical doctor says, hey, the terminal, it's a bad diagnosis, and you got to take this three times a day, you'll set your clock. Man, you'll make sure you take that something three times a day to save this flesh. And we put very little effort into saving our spiritual walk and preserving it to be right with God. Good night. If I could give you a prescription, I could hand you a bottle and say, here's your Bible cillin. Amen? Take it at 7 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. And take it with prayer. Must be taken with prayer. So pray before you take it, and then take your Bible. You know, take it with food. And you did that every day? If we did that every day, it would change our lives. But see, you may not believe it, but you never tried it. I'll give you the prescription today. Get up in the morning, pray and read your Bible. In the middle of the day, pray and read your Bible. Sometime at the end of the day, pray and read your Bible. Pray before you go to bed. Pray before you eat. Thank God. And see if things don't change. But I think the shortest thing you'll get on antibiotics now is about 5 to 7 days. Give God 7 days. Do that 7 days. If there's no difference, quit. But if you're doing it three times a day from the heart, remember Daniel? He prayed morning, noon, and night. You know what? You've got a Bible. Daniel didn't have a King James Bible. You can pray and read your Bible morning, noon, and night. So, well, I got too many things to do. Really? 100 years from now, how important are those things going to be? But be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be thoughtful. Be thoughtful of this. The Lord is at hand. Now think about that. He's present. He lives in you. You're representing Him. He's accessible. You can pray and talk to God. I have lost people all the time say, will you pray for me? I will, but if you get saved, you can pray for yourself. Amen? But the Lord is at hand. He's present. He lives in you. He's accessible. You can talk to Him. And He's coming back. So think about this every day. The Lord lives in me. I can talk to, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, God. And one day He's coming back, and it could be today. The Lord is at hand. You know what Jesus Christ, when He was walking this earth, they were saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right there. They rejected it. They didn't want Him. But the Lord is at hand. He lives in you. He'll walk with you, just like the song says. You can talk to Him. You can open His book. He'll talk to you. That still, small voice will guide you through the day. And He's coming back. Be thoughtful of that. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. I used to, when Brother Earl started coming here, when he first got here, Brother Earl's a character, man. When he first showed up, I was like, I don't know about this guy. I might have to switch churches myself, amen? But he was like, I talk to God all day. And I'm like, well, I don't talk to God all day. I talk to Him throughout the day. I'll stop and pray. But you know what? Now, a lot of days I talk to Him all day. Amen? I'll be driving down the road going, oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. What do you think? So, well, you're kooky as Earl. No, I got on to something. I don't just have to wait until it's time to pray. I can talk to Him all day. My wife talks to Him every time she rides with me. Amen? Oh, Lord, help me, she said. But be prayerful. Look at verse 6 again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Be thankful. Now, for me, it's probably better and easier just to write down some things I'm thankful for, because it's so easy to get caught up in the things and forget them. You ever do that? I mean, seriously, we got things to be thankful for. A lot of times it seems like the anxious, worrisome things of the world kind of overflow and blot, kind of shadow that stuff out. But be thankful. My wife's a lot better than I am. She really is. I mean, she praised God for parking spots. I just praise God if I live through the drive, amen. But she'll praise God for a close parking spot to Walmart, and, you know, just praises God all the time for this. She's thankful for that stuff. She's better at that than I am, so I'm confessing to you. Pray for me. But we've got things to be thankful for. We're saved. We know where we're going. We know it could be soon. We can go boldly to the throne of grace, and we have a Bible. We have a Bible. 66 calibers of a King James Bible. 66 chapters, or books. Amen? So be thankful. Be prayerful. Be thankful. I've talked about this a lot today, but look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Be truthful. Now, I'm not just saying to tell the truth and be honest, but be full of truth. Think on godly things. There is nothing in this world outside of this Bible that you can count on 100%. But you can hang your hat on this. You can hang your hat on this. Fill yourself with truth. Fill yourself with truth. And that, if you do these things, if you're helpful, joyful, thoughtful, prayerful, thankful, truthful, full of truth, then 9 falls right into place. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You get the peace of God. Get the peace of God. Now my flesh, when the election was announced and the results were, my flesh had a little bit of peace because I thought, man, we're going to get a change. It's going to be better. I didn't think it was going to be perfect. I didn't think everything was going to be fixed. But I thought, we're going to stop going down that landslide mess that we've been going down for the last how many years? Whew, my flesh said, woo, a break. But that's not the peace of God. The peace of God says it doesn't matter if Kamala gets in or Trump gets in. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm going. I know who I believed in. I know I've got a Bible. I know I'm saved. I know I've got a purpose. I'm not looking for purpose. God has given me purpose, and my purpose is to glorify Him. Everything was made for His pleasure, according to the book of Revelation. And if I'm going to please God, I'm going to focus on pleasing God. And if one side gets in and they take our guns and they close down this and they close down that and they demand this and demand that and they put 3-foot apart X's in every grocery store and tell you got to stand on them, amen. If they do all that stuff and then you can't buy food anymore, they got to deliver it to your door and, you know, you can only get what you get or whatever. You got to stand in line for toilet paper, peanut butter, whatever. Still saved. Still saved. Well, what if you can't get food and you can't get water? Well, you're going to see Jesus faster. Amen? I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Oh, what if my life isn't as easy tomorrow as it is today? You're saved, amen? If half of the easy things in your life went away and was replaced by 10 hard things each, you'd still have it better than most people in the world. Most saved people in the world. Amen? Because you live in the United States of America. And I don't worship this country. I thank God we're born here. But I know this place is spiraling out of control. And the Lord's not coming back to sit in Washington. He's coming back to sit in Jerusalem. Amen. And He's not sitting upstairs watching, you know, up in heaven, biting His fingernails, wondering who's going to come out in the next election. You know what he's wondering? He's probably wondering what we're going to do in the meantime. I wonder if my children are going to do anything. I wonder what they're doing down there. I'm going to look down there and see. Oh, caught one reading their Bible. And it wasn't even Sunday. Amen? You laugh, but most people go to church and don't read their Bible on Sunday. In church. If you walk down the street carrying a Bible or walk into church carrying a Bible now more, you are a vast minority. I mean, you're an ultimate, you're a lunatic, right? You're an extremist. A Bible thumper. The only Bible thumping I ever did was beat myself in the head with it going, what is wrong with me? Amen? Just unhook from the things of the world and get a hold of God. Let him get a hold of you. You're not going to be any use for God worried about all the things of the world. And when the things of the world, I know there's a spiritual component to everything, but God wants you to be grounded in truth. And if it's not in here, you can't be sure it's true. But if it's between this cover and this cover, and it's not reference notes, it's true. It's truth. Amen? I don't have to wait for Fox News to tell me what they believe the truth is. I have the truth. And the truth has me. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for your word, the truth. And Lord, help us to unplug from this crazy whirlwind dumpster fire of a mess that's going on outside these walls and focus on you daily. Talk with you regularly and realize you're at hand. You're present, you're accessible, and we're going to meet you in the air soon. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We ask these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless and breathe on this church. In Jesus' name, amen.